I'm excited about jumping into the Word today. I have had this message burning in my heart all week long and just allowing it to work on me and speak to me, and certainly I feel and sense that God is wanting to speak it to our church as well. But we started a new series last Sunday called Back to the Future, and certainly our desire is to get back to our future. We have certainly been living in a setback season or in a pause season. We have been living in an uncertain season. But it feels good to get back in a routine. It feels good to get back into some sort of schedule. And it feels good to get back into our purpose. And we determined last Sunday to begin focusing on the future. It's easy to live in the past. It's easy to live in our memories. But I think we as a people need to be future pulled. We need to be pulled by the presence of God into the destiny that He has for us, into the plan that He has for us, and not miss what He has for us. So today I want to talk to us about our words. Our words. And I want to talk to you about futuristic words. You can't go to the future if you do not know some future language. And I think words are very important. We hear a lot of words flying around today, and we hear a lot of things being said today. And sometimes you have to really listen to speak to understand and listen to understand. Sometimes the old saying is talk is cheap. I want to see what you're going to do and how you're going to live your life. But words are very powerful. And if we want to get back to the future, then we need some futuristic words. James chapter 3. Reading from the Message translation today, that is just very common everyday language, but sometimes it fits so appropriately. James chapter 3, it's on the screen for you if you want to follow along. But he says in verse 3, a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. It doesn't get any plainer than that. I feel like I could just open the altar right now. James has preached today in just a few verses. Actually, James tells us something that we've heard in one form or another, in one way or another, from various people throughout our entire lives. He's telling us that words have power. And he describes our words in great detail. He says it's a small rudder that steers, turns, sets the course for a huge ship. He tells it's the bit in the mouth of a horse that decides which direction it is going to take. Or if it's a steering wheel in a car, it's your words that determine its ability to go this direction or that direction. It only takes a spark to set a forest fire, and your words are that spark. So the question this morning is not, are my words a force of nature, but rather, what kind of world are my words creating? What happens when I speak? There are people whose words always make us feel better. Something about hearing maybe a particular individual speak. I don't know if it's a podcast maybe you listen to, or a particular radio host or DJ, you turn them on and something about their voice just brings calm. Maybe it's the voices you hear on Sunday. Maybe it's the soloist, those a part of our worship team that bring calm to you. We all have those voices in our lives who just have the right words at the right time, and they make us feel better. They cause us to be stronger. They help us to grow in our faith. But I want to make this personal today. I want to make this individual today and ask you, what kind of world are your words creating? The words that you speak in a climate when words matter so much, in a very tense environment the last few weeks in our nations. We see the power of words. A president can say this, a politician can say that, a community leader can speak this, a random bystander on the street can say this, that, or the other, and it seems to shift. It seems to turn this giant ship in another direction. But if I'm asking this of myself today, here's what I want to know. Do the people in my life get encouraged, or are they discouraged by my words? Is there greater clarity, or is there confusion associated with my words? Do I encourage myself or discourage myself? Do I create problems, or do I solve problems? Do I make a mountain or move a mountain? We're talking about the world that our words create, and specifically your words. Do I create heaviness, or do I help people lighten? What world do my words create? Do I speak mostly from a place of frustration, or maybe a place of anxiety, or do I speak from a place of faith, thankfulness, and peace? What kind of world do my words create? Can I tell you this today? Words spoken are more than a sound. They are a creative force. I want to say that again. Words spoken are more than a sound. They are a creative force. Words have to mean something. When we spill out a jumble of words, we can't pick them back up and take them back and put them all back in their place and say, hey, forget I ever said that, because they are more than a sound. As soon as they're spoken, they begin doing the thing that we intended for them to do. That's why the wise man of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, words initiate life or death, strength or weakness, good or evil, death or life. You say, but Pastor Darrell, I've never said something and someone fell dead. I've never spoken something and someone keeled over with a heart attack. But the reality is, the words that we speak, it either brings death or life. It either contributes to their pain or it helps to heal their pain. It either pushes them in one direction or pulls them in another direction. I want to be responsible for my words. I think all of us in this room today feel the weight of this, especially in this climate when it's hard to know exactly what to say and how to say it and what to do and exactly what is the right thing to do. So our words have so much more weight and carry much more importance. If we just glance at the past, I think it verifies the power of words in history. The words of Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. awakened our nation's conscience to justice and equality. Their words are still being spoken. Almost impossible to go a day without seeing something that one of those two giants in history spoke and are still being quoted today. Or what about Patrick Henry, who rallied his countrymen with this phrase, "Give me liberty or give me death." Or maybe John F. Kennedy, who said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." What if these words of vision, inspiration, and faith were never spoken? What kind of shape would our world be in right now? What if there had not been a Dr. King who marched and worked hard to bring equality, even in the face of obvious work that is still yet to be done and needing to be done right now in our nation? What if we had not had his voice then? What kind of shape would we be in today? Or what if these great leaders had spoken words of discouragement and fear? Where would we be today? What battles would not have been won? How different would our lives be this morning if someone hadn't spoken words of direction, healing, faith, and hope? I know we were all taught that old saying, song, poem, however it was presented to you, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." It was passed down hoping that it might come true at some point. But can I tell you today that that is not true? Because words either build or they break. Sticks and stones can break my bones, and words can do harm to my life as well. I love the Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" He's saying, who is the man that loves life and wants a good life? Who's the man who wants to be happy? Who's the man that wakes up in the morning and just desires to be blessed and desires to have good relationships and desires to have a good marriage and desires to raise good kids? Who is that man? He's going to give us some good advice. He's going to tell us how to achieve what he says is available in verse 12. In verse 13, he said, this is how you have that kind of life. You keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. If you want to have a good life, keep your mouth from evil. You say, no. Life is so much more complicated than that. Being successful is so much more difficult than that. Being a person of honor is so much harder than that. No, he said it's pretty simple. If you desire life, if you love many days, if you want to see good, then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Why? Because words create prisons that hold us hostage from the better things that God has for us. Because here's something I know about you and something I know about me. Once we speak something, we tend to want to prove it right, even if it's wrong. Yeah, I'm not trying to throw word salad at you. I want you to think about what I'm saying. When we speak something, it's our nature, it's our pride. We want to prove ourselves right. So we'll do whatever it takes. We'll double down. We'll keep speaking. We'll say it louder. We want to prove what we're saying is right, even if what we are saying is incorrect. Have you ever had someone who just didn't know? Maybe they were just wrong, and it doesn't matter how many times you tell them they are wrong. It doesn't matter how many times you tell them no. If you want to get to that destination, you have to turn right. You cannot turn left. If you turn left, you're going to drive into a dead end. But it doesn't matter. They'll just argue with you and tell you over and over, and you're trying to speak. Our words do the same thing to us. They create prisons. And then we find ourselves living in prisons that were created by our own words. Let's go back to the Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs 16 and 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 11 and 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 13 and 2, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. What about Proverbs 12 and 18? There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. That's the kind of person I want to be and the kind of words that I want to speak. But I think we need some practical understanding, some tools that we can hold on to, because again, it's hard to know what to say. It's hard to know what to do. It's hard to know sometimes how to handle other people or what to do. I know more than ever before we are convicted that our voice should be heard. And of course, social media has made it easy for everyone to have a platform. If you have one single solitary follower, then you have a platform. It may only be a platform of one, but you have a platform. But if you have 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 or however many people are willing to listen to what you have to say, then you have a responsibility to your words. So how do I use futuristic words? How if I want to go back to the future, if I want to invest in good days, if I want to invest in good years ahead, how do I speak futuristic words, and what words are going to build not only my life but the lives of those around me? Number one, I think we have to speak to build others up. If we want to speak futuristic words, we have to speak to build others up. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, don't use foul language or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Don't use foul or abusive language. I think every spouse in the room knows the difference. We're vulnerable to those whom we love dearly, those who have the inside scoop on our lives. And as easy as it is to say this or say that or feel this or feel that, he's saying be careful how you speak. Speak to build others up. Number two, if you want to use some futuristic words, if you want to build your future, then speak without complaining or arguing. Speak without complaining or arguing. What if I told you that your incredible future, the future that dreams are made of, the tomorrows that just, man, they just get you excited to go to sleep at night so that you can wake up tomorrow in that day on your way to all that life has for you. The one condition is that you cannot complain and you cannot argue. Man, what would that do to us? How would that hinder us? How would that keep us from achieving or attaining what we want? Well, Pastor Dale, that's just your opinion. Actually, Philippians 2 and 14 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. I'm not preaching my opinion today. I'm preaching the word of the Lord. He said, do everything. Everything? I have to do everything without complaining or arguing? How hard is that? Does anybody feel like you just need to go home? Like, I can't do this. I can't accomplish this. This is too hard a task for me. But hear me. I want to help all of us. I want to help you watching online today. I want to help everybody in the room today to have the brightest, best future we possibly can have. But if we're going to achieve it, if we're going to attain it, then we have to stop complaining and arguing. Guard against allowing complaining to creep into your conversations. Because here's what I've learned. Complainers don't realize they complain until we tell them. That's not a good plan. They don't want to hear you tell them that they complain too much. Because then they're going to take it to the next step and start arguing with you. And it's an endless cycle that never stops. So this is self-policing. There's no complaining police. There's no arguing police, because everyone who complains feels like it's the other guy. Everyone who argues feels like someone else started the argument and they're just there to defend their position. So it does me no good to tell you that you're one way. It does you no good to tell me that I'm this way. We all just have to want to be better for ourselves and be better for those around us. And if we want to get back to the future, if we want to invest in our future, then we have to speak without complaining or arguing. Number three, I'll get off of that one. But number three, don't talk too much. It's funny, a message about words and the power of words, and I'm telling you, don't talk too much. Don't talk too much. Why? Ecclesiastes 6 and 11 says, the more words you speak, the less they mean. So what good are they? The more words you speak, the less they mean. This message by count on my notes. Let me see if I can do this while I'm on. I have 1,176 words on my 5 pages of notes today. I'm on page 4, so I'm almost done. 1,176 words. I know about how many words a minute I speak, so by word count, when I'm preparing a message, I know about how long the message is going to be. You don't have to worry about 1,176 words. You have to worry when it gets to about 1,400 or 1,500 words. That's when I'm going to mess up your lunch and you're going to be unhappy with me, but I know about how long, I know how many words a minute, and so I know on average how long it's going to take me to say what it is that I have prepared. But the wise men said, the more you speak. My pastor said it this way, and it's much less KJV and much less, you know, popular language, but he told me all the time, Daryl, never miss an opportunity to shut up. Don't ever miss an opportunity to shut up. You know why? Because you can talk yourself into and out of a blessing. You can talk yourself into good things and out of good things. At some point, you have to stop selling. At some point, you have to just close the deal and trust that whatever you have said up to this point. Why? Because excessive talking will distract you from your purpose. What does that mean? That means sometimes people get addicted to talking about doing something, but they're so busy talking about doing something that they never have time to actually do it. What's more valuable in this life, talking about it or doing it? Talking it or walking it? So don't talk too much. Excessive talking can cheapen your words. They say men speak about 10,000 words a day and women speak about 20,000 words a day. Why? Because they're always having to repeat themselves to us. Did you hear me? Huh? Don't talk too much. Number four, if you want to speak futuristic words, if you want to speak into your future and get ready for the great things that God has for you, if we want to get ready to move into what God has for us as a church, number four is important. Speak without gossiping. Speak without gossiping. Again, not my opinion. Proverbs 11 and 13, a gossip betrays a confidence. Proverbs 16 and 28, a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 26 and 20, without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Someone said there is so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us, it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us. You want me to say it again? There's so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us. It doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us. Water your grass, mow your yard, and leave everyone else alone. Number five. Speak without criticizing others. If we want to talk about the future, if we want to talk about where God is taking us and what God wants to do through us, if we want to speak some futuristic words, then we have to speak without criticizing others. Luke 6 and 37 in the Message, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Here's what I've learned about bullies. They don't like it when you turn their behavior on them. They don't. They used to tell us in school, the bully, I know we got therapy for bullies now, on both sides of that. But in my day when I was coming up, I had a football coach who said, that kid keeps picking on you. He said, you're probably going to get suspended. You're probably going to have some trouble. But he said, next time he does it, ball up your fist and punch him straight in the nose. I'm looking around to see what kids are in the room, because I really don't want you to do this, but it's summer, and I'm hoping you'll forget this before you go back to school. If you get to go back to school, all the parents pray right now the kids get to go back to school. Yeah, give them a dose of their own medicine. I'm not advocating violence today. I'm not advocating fighting today, but the principal was sure that the person who keeps pushing you, they're compensating for something, and they don't want to be pushed back. So if you don't want to be treated that way, don't treat others that way. If you don't want people to be critical of you, don't be critical of them. Criticism is when people say negative things about other people, when it's not their right at all to evaluate that person. Now hear me, there is a right time and place for the right people to analyze and evaluate other people. And it's wise to welcome analysis from the right people to help you with your blind spots. We have this pervasive attitude in our culture today that says, you can't teach me anything. Pastors walk around with handcuffs. Bosses cannot train people properly. No one is willing to listen. No one is willing to be taught anything. And we are seeing the effects of it in our society today. We're seeing the struggle that it has created. But hear me, be a person. This is, again, not something that can be convince you of. It's something you have to come to terms with and realize that, hey, if I have someone in my life who is able to teach me something and has a skill or a value or something that I'm needing in my life, then I want to learn from them. So I need to speak without criticizing others. The last one, number six, as I close, speak at the highest level of your faith. If you want to speak futuristic words, if you want your life to go where God intended for it to go, then you have to speak at the highest level of your faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, according to what is written. Notice what he said, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So he's saying, I didn't speak until I read what I should be speaking. I reserved my comment. I reserved my words. I held my tongue until I knew what I should be saying. And he said, according to what was written, according to the word of God, that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. According to the word that said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. According to the word that says I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. According to the word that says he created me in his image and in his likeness. According to the word that says he is no respecter of persons. According to the word that says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I hear that, now I know what I should speak. And I have to speak at the highest level of my faith. This is simply choosing which thoughts you will give voice to. Because if I was to ask today, how many people in the room struggle with negative thoughts? If I were to ask you to stand today, I'm not going to. If I were to ask those watching online how many struggle with negative thoughts, if I asked you to just say yes in the chat, don't do that. It would be overwhelming, both in this room and online. Because we live in flesh. We live in flesh that, for whatever reason, you're not flawed. You're not messed up. You live in flesh that wants to go the opposite direction of where God is calling you. Paul said, when I would do good, this evil is present. And there's a war in my members. What is that war? It's this war that every time I take a step in the direction of God, there is something trying to get me to take a step in the wrong direction. And so much of my spiritual journey is managing this tension, is trying to decide, today, am I going to beat temptation or am I going to cower, give in to temptation? So much of the battle is, hey, I'm going to speak faith today, or I'm going to curse everything in my life today. It's easy on Sunday because you woke up with your mind on the Lord, going to church. But let's talk about this tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, when the struggle is real. Speak at the highest level of your faith. Choose which thoughts you will give voice to, whether it's the fears, the worries, the doubts, or the hopes and the confidence of your heart. I'll never get out of this mess. That's not futuristic words. I can't stand all this stress. That's not futuristic words. Somehow, some way, we're going to get through this. And when we do, we're going to be stronger than we've ever been. It's futuristic words. I'm just hoping, I'm believing, God, no matter what I'm facing, I know it's not over yet. That is speaking at the highest level of your faith. Futuristic words. Anybody want to speak to your future today? Anybody want to speak to the tomorrows of your life today? Anyone want to declare something over your family, over your relationships, over your finances, over your church today? Speak futuristic words. Because here's the reality. Everyone is dealing with unique pressure more than ever. And the enemy is using that pressure against us. I need better words. Our community needs better words. Our nation needs better words. Find futuristic words. Words that build your future. Father, I pray today for people in this room, those watching online, our church, in many locations today. I feel your spirit strong. I feel the words that I'm speaking are touched by your anointing. You're helping minds and hearts and spirits right now. Someone may be hurting today. Someone may be frustrated. Someone may be angry today. Someone may be broken today. Someone may be lower than they've ever been today. But I speak faith, and I speak life, and I speak hope. I speak healing. and I speak salvation. I refuse to live at the base of my faith. I refuse to live at the bottom of my faith. No, I rise to the occasion to speak to the highest level of my faith. Why? Because I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus, I want more.
Listen, if you're watching online today, if you're in this room today and you need to just agree with the word in your life, the word of salvation that God has for you, the word of healing and wholeness that God has for you, I promise you he can take every emotion of disappointment, depression, discouragement, and he can replace it with his peace, his power, and purpose. All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is say yes. How do I do that, Pastor Darrell? I want to give you some words that you can pray. If you're in this room today, you can pray these words with me to say, Jesus, I will not live at the bottom any longer. I want to take the elevator right to the top. I want to live at a higher level. I want purpose to arrest me. I want peace to flow like a river in my life. I want healing and hope, and most of all, forgiveness for my sin today. I don't want to live the worst of me, the evil of me, the nasty of me. I want to live according to your plan. So today I say yes. Today I accept your grace. I accept your goodness. I accept your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.